Speaking the truth. We're going to talk about speaking the truth in this podcast. Fritz Berger and bloodandfaith.com. You can also find me on Podbean, fritzreport.podbean.com, and I'm also on Gab. I've got a there's a news article about a young man, young white preacher man, Christian man, and he did a sermon on homosexuality, and he has made the front page of the Drudge Report and of many nations in the world. And I know exactly how that can feel. So I got to talk about him a little bit. So here's this guy. His name is, let's see what his name is. Oh, it doesn't matter what his name. Anyway, he's preaching about homosexuality, and he says it's an abomination to God, and it's worthy of death. It's a crime worthy of death. And he said they should be, you know, tried in a court of law and then executed. And the world is blowing up. Everybody's blowing up. They said, oh, my God, this is the most horrible thing in the world. And he's called homophobic. That's the lead article in here. He's a homophobe. And, you know, this is kind of what I'm getting at. I want to know where the Christians are who actually understand the Holy Scripture enough to say that the guy's right. The guy's right. Now, I don't preach the sermon that he preached. I don't know that I ever have. I don't think I ever have. But he certainly can support it with the Holy Scriptures. When I talk about homosexuality, I put it in the face of my colleagues with their own arguments. When I rant is, I don't know if that's the right word. When I ridicule is a better word. When I ridicule homosexuality, I do it in a way that should be getting into the face of my colleagues or former colleagues. And I say, look, it's unscientific. Homosexuality is absolutely the most unscientific thing that you can ever do. In one generation, they breed themselves out of existence. They cannot pass on their genetic material. A homosexual cannot. And they say, well, you know, but the homosexuals have kids. Well, they're not doing it via homosexuality, are they? Homosexuality is a death cult. And you're dead, genetically dead in exactly one generation. You're the only generation. You can't pass it down. Number two, so-called transsexuals. You commit a horrible crime to a male. We'll just call it a male. You cut off body parts, drill a hole, and inject hormones. And none of that changes the hormone from XX to XY. It's absolutely, utterly unscientific. And this is what it goes to in Romans chapter 1. I ought to pull that up here. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, so that they are without excuse. So to all my colleagues out there, former colleagues, whatever you want to call yourselves, I mock you. Homosexuality and transsexuality are the most unscientific things that exist. You don't change a chromosome from XY to XX because you chopped off body parts and injected hormones. Homosexuality is absolutely incapable of reproducing itself biologically. And you claim to be for science. It's insane. You're insane. You're insane. You're part of a cult. Now, that's not even my biggest point in all this. This isn't actually a podcast on homosexuality or transsexualism. It's a podcast on the lack of courage for Christians to stand up and speak the truth. Here's a young man that he did. Now, I don't know if he knew what he was going to get into or not, but it doesn't matter. He said the truth. It's wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. It's evil. It is an abomination. And whatever scriptures he's using out of, you know, I don't know where he was using, is that there's probably some scripture in Leviticus about men not laying with males, not laying with males. There is. I just haven't seen that in decades, probably. I don't even use it. I go right to Genesis chapter 1. God created a male, and he created a female. And he said it's good and it's very good. Full stop. Stop right there. That's all you need to know. When God loaded up the ark, he put males and females together by pairs, males and females. It's over and over and over and over in the ark, in the Holy Scriptures. I mean, it's in your face. So the question becomes, if a third of America is Christian, why is this even a conversation? Why are we even talking about it? And what's more embarrassing, and I'm embarrassed on behalf of my fellow Christians, is they're not really willing to stand up and speak for this. They're not really willing to stand up and speak about this. And it's probably the easiest target you can speak about. But people are terrified of the antichrists. And the world is full of antichrists. I commented once that, you know, demons and evil spirits don't just work out there on their own, out there in the ether somewhere. They work through people. And people are afraid of other people. Oh my God, I don't want to be called a homophobe, transphobe, queerphobe. And they're terrified. There's some scriptures in, oh, I want to say the Proverbs. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And what does that mean? What is the fear of the Lord? And I've seen people say, oh, it's reverence, it's awe. Oh, I'm in awe of God and God's creation. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Who's the Lord? It's Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ isn't here, so how can we be afraid of him? How about understanding that Jesus Christ and the Word of God are synonymous? Revelation, it says his name is called the Word of God. The name of Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. Do you fear the Word of God? Or is it something that it's just sort of a little thing that's a little trinket that's out there? I know for a fact that there's many nominal Christians that are terrified of what evil people think about them. They're terrified. They're terrified to be associated with people whom evil people hate. So, you know, supposedly Christian people. Oh my God, I don't want to be called a homophobe, transphobe, queerphobe, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic. They're terrified of evil people calling them evil names. Now, the great gift of this life is that we have a chance to be brave. We have a chance to be brave. It's up to us whether or not we take it. The great gift of this life is we can make decisions for righteousness at great risk to ourselves. What a gift that is. What a gift that is. Those that flee that for comfort or safety or security or for the praise of evildoers, you're missing an opportunity. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm just saying you're missing an opportunity. I mean, David could have had an easy life. I'm sure he could have figured out some way to get along with Paul, with King Saul. But he didn't. He had to do what he had to do. I'm sure Saul could have figured out a way to get along with the Jews, but he stood up against them. Paul says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He says, I was the worst among them. I'm the one that voted to put these Christians to death. But he had an opportunity to be courageous. He had an opportunity to do the right thing and to say the right thing. All he got was the opportunity. It was up to him to whether or not he took it. Same with the 12 disciples, Matthew, James, Peter, John, Judas. They had an opportunity to say the right thing and to do the right thing. Judas backed out. Judas Iscariot backed out. He said, nope, ain't worth it. I want a nice life, comfortable life. It's not worth it. He was the traitor to Jesus Christ. Well, I mean, what an opportunity the man had. He turned aside from God. He was called of God. He was chosen directly by Jesus Christ. And yet he turned aside to go his own way. He said, ain't worth it, man. Ain't worth it. This cat's nuts. All my friends and family have been telling me this. I ain't doing it no more. Give me my 30 pieces of silver and I will be on my way. Clean slate. All he had to do was point out who Jesus was. He didn't even have to kill him or anything. He just said, hey, this is the dude. Comes up to Jesus Christ, greets him with a kiss. Hail, Rabbi. And then he goes on his way. He was a traitor. He was a traitor to the incarnation of God. You and I have an opportunity in this life to do the right thing, to say the right thing. But it's up to us to take advantage of that opportunity. This is a great opportunity. It's a perfect opportunity. Don't hide. Don't cower. Don't be cowed. All those words are related. Cowering, cowed, and coward. They're all related. Have courage. Courage means heart. Have heart. The issue is not homosexuality. The issue is, are you cowed? Do you fear the antichrists? Do you fear those that have no fear of the word of God? Do you fear the word of God? Do you fear the word of God? Does it terrify you? It should. It should. The Almighty God should terrify you and I. Terrify us. Oh, no, but God's love and all this stuff. Listen, spend some more time in the Word. Spend some more time in the Word. Spend some time with the parables of Jesus Christ. They're not friendly. They're not. They're not friendly. John, what? John, pick a chapter. Pick any chapter in John. How about the chapter about him, you know, bearing fruit? If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. And you'll get pruned so you can bear even more fruit. But if you don't bear fruit, if you don't bear fruit, you're going to be cut down and cast into the fire. Oh, I serve a loving, all-forgiving God. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, the fear of Jesus Christ, the fear of the Word of God. And the thing that, I don't know, but there's a sense of yearning and compassion and hope for my brothers and sisters in the Lord that they'll wake up and realize that, man, the greatest opportunity on the planet is right in front of them. But they got to make a choice to fear the Word of God and to speak the truth and not be terrified when the little antichrists go out there and do their snake dance and condemn people. They're the same people as the Pharisees of 2,000 years ago. They're the same people. It's the same spirit. It's a holier-than-thou, accusatory spirit, accusing men of things that are not sins at all. And you see it all the time. Love trumps hate. We need a battle against hate. And yet, what are their tools? Their tools are to spread hate. Anti-defamation. Defamation League is a great example of that. To defame somebody is to undermine their reputation. So they claim to be against undermining people's reputations. Yet what do? They go out and they undermine people's reputations. Oh, he's a racist. He's sexist. He's homophobic. He's transphobic. He's queer. Queerphobic. Intolerant. He's divisive. Oh, and the biggest boogeyman of all for them is he's anti-Semitic. Which practically means you just, either you said something that they don't like, you said something they don't like, whether it's true or not. And they defame people, demonize people, dehumanize people, destroy people, delegitimize people. It's called defamation. So that organization practices that which they claim to not do. Their stock in trade is to defame people. It's the same people from 2,000 years ago. Christians say, oh, I want, we just need the Holy Ghost revival. We need revival. Well, what happens in a revival? Men start speaking the truth, and all hell breaks loose. Men start speaking the truth, the Holy Spirit convicts, and it's from the accounts that I've read, from the first and second Great Awakening, it's a terrifying thing. It's a terrifying thing. True revival, when the Holy Ghost comes down, is terrifying. It's terrifying to sinner and saint alike, because the Holy Ghost shows up and all our sins are laid bare before the Almighty. It's terrifying. I like to be comfortable too. Our number one task in life as a believer in Jesus Christ is to open up our mouth and speak. Not speak everything that the Antichrist want to hear from us. Oh, God loves you. God forgives you. God heals you. He gives you more bread. God is tolerant. He's multicultural. He is inclusive. Oh, they eat that stuff up. Oh, all day long. Oh, we're going to give you a little label of our approval. Here's a homosexual flag. Put it outside your church. Little rainbow out there. Oh, yes, we want the rainbow. We're approved. Jesus Christ said some really, really, really hard things. Really hard things. I'd encourage you to go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. I mentioned in the podcast a couple of days ago, there's this one Jewish scholar, and he talks about how anti-Semitic the Holy Scriptures are. He says there's 450 verses in four in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts that are anti-Semitic. Therefore, it's all evil. And my response to that is, if that's true, then the Christians need to get on board and support all 450 of those verses. It's the Word of God. You have more fear of an Antichrist than the Word of God? That's upside down and backwards. All right, so here's little Johnny, or whatever his name is. I forget his name. Being called a homophobe. There's a homophobe. Then they got the rainbow people out there saying, you know, love trumps hate. They're just trying to generate hate against this guy. And you say, well, I think I would have said it kinder and gentler and nicer. You know what? I get so sick of that. You know what? The truth is, you wouldn't have said a thing, and you aren't saying a thing. All you're trying to do is pose about how morally righteous you are. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about my listeners. Because you're brave. You're strong. Hey, if you're brave enough to listen to this podcast and go to bloodandfaith.com, you got some guts in there somewhere. You got some guts in there somewhere. Most people are terrified. Oh, my God, I would never go to that site because I might get tainted. Somebody might say, oh, you went to blood. Oh, I just have to laugh. You went to a site where he's racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic. The horror. The horror. And yet, I'll challenge anybody. Find something that I've said that's not supported by the Holy Scriptures, and I'll change my opinion. I'll change my mind. But what the church has done, the evangelical church has done, I'm not even talking about the Episcopalians and the Methodists and mainline churches, is they've erected a set of oral traditions around the Word of God that undermine the Word of God and make it say something completely different. It's exactly what the Jews did. That's what the Talmud is to the Torah. And these evangelicals done the same thing. Listen to a podcast this morning, a guy named the Z-Man. He's a pretty good guy. He openly admits he's not a Christian, but he did have, a Catholic upbringing. But he says, look, here's this pastor so-and-so, you know, almost some megachurch. And openly friendly to homosexuality. He's going, he says, I'm not a churchgoer. I'm not a Christian. He says, but I know this ain't right. That ain't Christianity. That's what I'm saying. Guy's got more cojones than half the evangelical church. Not even a Christian. And he was not on a rant about homosexuality. He was on a rant about Christians who don't even believe in Christianity anymore. Christians who do not fear God, do not fear the word of God. It was, anyway, this thezman.org, if you want to go check him out. I don't know the guy's name. I don't think he publicizes that. But why is there such a lack of courage in the heart of the church? I don't have an answer for that. I don't have a good answer for that. Other than, well, I can give you some examples. Now, Jesus Christ, he was preaching about got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and everybody left in droves. There's 12 people left, and he said, "Hey, you can leave too if you want. Go for it." And they said, "Yeah, well, we ain't got nowhere left to go." They'd already been kicked out of the synagogues. They'd already been depersoned. They'd already been rejected by the establishment. They said, "We ain't got nowhere to go." I mean, that's what they said. By the way, being depersoned, demodified, deplatformed ain't nothing new. Goes back 2,000 years. Why do you think people got kicked out of the synagogue? It was to deperson them, demonetize them, deplatform them, deperson them, dehumanize them, demonize them. It's the same thing today as it was 2,000 years ago. Same group of people and their hangers-on that want to be like the establishment. It's the same group of people, guys. You don't need to reinvent this stuff and say, "Oh, that just applied to." No, it's the same thing today. Get your oral traditions. You impose your narrow-minded, self-righteous morality on other people. Oh, he's homophobic, and it's not even righteousness. It's not even godly. It's anti-God. It's anti-Christ. It's against the Word of God. But my broader point on this is, look, all of life is a loyalty test. All of life is a loyalty test. Who are you loyal to? Only in this life alone can you have courage, strength, and honor. And pay a price and live by faith. That's the glory of this life. That's the glory of this life. You're not going to have that in eternity, whether you're in heaven or in hell. You're not going to have that opportunity to live by faith, demonstrate loyalty to your King, your Master, Jesus Christ, and pay a price for it. Part of the Christian life is you will pay a price to serve Jesus Christ. If you're paying no price to serve Jesus Christ, you need to ask some deep questions. And again, like I said, Jesus Christ isn't this kinder, gentler God. He's the same God that destroyed the earth in the flood. He's the same God that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Nobody preached eternal damnation more than Jesus Christ. Nobody did. He's the guy. Oh, but he's such a nice guy. He forgives. Back to the point of speaking the truth and courage. Here's a young man, had the courage to speak the truth. I don't know if he knew what he was getting into or not. Don't know the guy. Don't need to know the guy. My question is, what is the reaction of the evangelical church to this guy? Is it condemnation or is it support? Without even knowing the man, is it condemnation of him? Or is it, hey, you know what? Basically, the guy's right. He spoke what's in the Holy Scriptures. Homosexuality is wrong. It's a sin. It's evil. And yes, there is a scripture in the Holy Scriptures that says it's a capital crime. How many Christians will come out and say that? Or are they terrified of being condemned by the people that hate the Word of God and hate Jesus Christ? many months ago, I was spoken a podcast, and I said, look, we're living in the greatest time. It's a target-rich environment. You don't have to find a dragon to slay. They're all around you. The only question is, do you have courage, and do you have faith? Faith and courage go hand in hand. And I can think of non-religious examples of that. I mean, you think of young men going to war. They got to have faith and they got to have courage. They got to have faith in the justice for their cause. And I don't mean, it's a good idea to go to war in XYZ country over XYZ issue. I mean faith that, listen, I'm going to war with my brothers. And we're going to support each other and do our best to get through this. And believe that it's the right thing to do, even though they pay the ultimate price. I'm not saying they have to have faith in the ultimate political objectives of their political masters. But you go into battle, you better, I mean, it takes faith and it takes courage for these young men and middle-aged men, some of them. Not old men like me. A little too old. Unless I lived in Ukraine, I might qualify if I lived in Ukraine. It takes faith and courage. You got to have faith that what you're doing is worth your life. You have courage to go through with it. You can't replicate these circumstances in heaven or in hell. They're unique to this life. And, you know, I think of my wasted years, wasted decades, of when I, for whatever reasons, which is irrelevant to this podcast, was less than vocal. Let's just put it that way, less than vocal. I worked through that, and here I am. Fritz Bergman, bloodandfaith.com. I remember when I got ousted from a corporate office. People were horrified that somebody in my position could hold the opinions that I hold. And not long after that, an article in Political came out on me, and then a few months later, an article on foreignpolicy.com came out on me. And, you know, and of course, it gets picked up all over the world, just like this young man from Texas. And I got a message to you guys. It ain't that bad. It ain't that bad to have people call you these fake, dirty names. Racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic. It's not that bad. It really isn't. Now, there may be some economic consequences, as there are, as there has been. But, you know, you want to talk about a liberation in the soul to be able to speak your conscience? There's a deep liberation in your soul when you finally can open up and speak your conscience. Now, I am hoping and envisioning that the dam is full and it's about to break over amongst 100, 200, 300, 800 million Christians around the world. And so we're not taking this anymore. We're not going to be quiet. We're not going to submit to your accusations. Now, it's a full-on onslaught for this young man. Demonize him. We believe in love, not hate. Well, when you say that, what you're doing is you're trying to generate hate towards that person. I go around my neighborhood, I see the same thing. Love, not hate. What you're signaling is that people with ideas not of your own should be hated. That's what they're doing. They're defaming people. So part of what I try to do here in bloodandfaith.com is an intellectual exercise. Help me to unwrap the cords that have confused you so you understand the game that is being played. And tying it to the grand narrative that God has provided to us, which are the Holy Scriptures. And some of us don't recognize, I didn't know that was the game. Well, that's why I'm here, to help you show you what the game is, what the big game is. And, I can go a lot deeper into that. And you've heard me, you know, talk on and on about linguistic theory. But the point is this, Christian. Where are the Christians speaking the truth? Now, they're out there, and some are. Many, 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 many of us are. And I guess I'm saying, don't hold back. Raise your voice. And if somebody else is speaking the truth, even if you wouldn't have said it that way, look, at least they got the guts to go out there and do what they think they need to do. And the church is full of people who confess the name of Jesus Christ, who have no fear of God, utterly deny the word of God, and will run in terror from the Antichrist and be cowed by them and bend the knee and submit to their demands. In that sense, they worship the Antichrist. Trying to tie it all together for you. You've only got this life to speak up and speak the truth. That's all you're asked to do. Nobody's asking you to do anything other than that. But you're required to open up your mouth and confess the Word of God, the entire Word of God. Not the little pieces that don't anger the Antichrist. That's it. It's the weekend, guys. Fritz Bergeron, bloodandfaith.com, out.